This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hawk and Crowder, President's Day, holiday. And that means that Hawk and Crowder and Solana are not in today, and you're stuck with me today and tomorrow. It's Josh Appel. Taking you up till 6 o'clock. Jimmy is also here. Steven Gonzalez in the studio as well. A lot to get to. And honestly, I was kind of stressing over what I was going to talk about today and tomorrow. And then the Four Nations happened. And then the All-Star Game happened. And then my Valentine's Day happened on Friday. And we'll get to all of that throughout the course of the show. We've got three great guests for you booked for today's program. Chris Whittingham, our good friend, one of the nation's best soccer voices. He'll be on the call for a Champions League match tomorrow. He will also be calling an MLS game every week for MLS Season Pass. He'll join us at 2:30. And then in the 3 o'clock hour, former Dolphins beat writer and current Jets beat writer for the New York Daily News, Antoine Staley, will join the show. He used to cover the Dolphins back in the early 2010s. Late 2000s. They call it the aughts. Whatever. Regardless, Antoine was on the beat during the entire Bullygate investigation. And that was another thing that popped up over the weekend. Jonathan Martin spoke to ESPN and gave his first public quotes and comments about that whole situation since it all went down. And Antoine was right in the middle of it, covering it at the time. He had some thoughts that he expressed on social media yesterday, so we're going to talk to him about everything going on with Jonathan Martin and now the victory lap that Richie Incognito is rightly or wrongly taking. And then at 4:30, we'll be joined by the new television play-by-play voice of the Marlins, Kyle Seeloff. The Marlins started their full squad workouts today. Peter Bendix, Bruce Sherman, Clayton McCullough, they all spoke to the media this morning. A week after pitchers and catchers reported, the entire squad is in Jupiter getting set for the Major League Baseball season. We'll talk to Kyle about everything Marlins at 4:30. But we start with my Valentine's Day exploits on Friday because I came away very frustrated. All right. Now, my wife and I, we're not like big Valentine's Day people. You know, her birthday is in mid-January. Valentine's Day is February 14th. And our anniversary is the first weekend of March. And so we've got like three romantic-ish holidays or occasions all right back to back to back. So we really go more all out for the birthday and for the anniversary. And for Valentine's Day, you know, you do the flowers, the cards, and we'll do a dinner. My wife, she had a friend from out of town, one of her bridesmaids was staying with us. And so we included her in our Valentine's Day dinner. And she has certain dietary restrictions that we had to account for. So my wife thoroughly researched a bunch of different places, and we found this Italian spot kind of near where we live. Huge menu. My wife's eaten there before. She likes it. I've eaten there before. It's solid. And so we thought, all right, this will be a great spot for us. Now, I know that sometimes on big special holiday, big special occasion, some restaurants will go ahead and set a prefixed menu. But usually they give some warning, some heads up when you go on the website or when you call for the reservation. Well, that ain't what happened here. So we have our reservation. We get to the restaurant. We're all excited. We sit down. They hand us the menu. And it has Valentine's Day fixed special menu on it. And I look at it. And as we've talked about on the show before, I am an incredibly picky eater. I have the palate of a child. Now, that's not to say I haven't expanded it in recent months and weeks. I've started to put mustard on my burgers. Started to eat some sauteed onions. You know, we're making some progress on a lot of things. I'm back to eating bone-in wings.
Like a true man.
Right. I like to think I am. Feel like we're taking strides towards that. But there was nothing on this menu that looked appetizing to me. So on the front end, we have that. And then my wife's friend, dietary restrictions, nothing on there that she's able to eat. The waitress comes over and says, this is the right after we sit down. I say, is this the only menu that you guys have today? It's not the full menu. Unfortunately, it wasn't. She goes, oh, but you know, gluten, we can give her gluten-free pasta. That ain't going to cut it. So we did something that we have never done in the history of our lives. And don't let your mind go in the gutter. We got up from the table before even getting our water or drink order or anything in. Never done that before. Because I'm always the type that feels kind of bad doing that, right? Like, I hate to be the guy that upsets the wait staff, anybody in that works at the restaurant. They've got a tough job as it is. They deal with enough knuckleheads, especially on a holiday like that. And I felt bad being that table, that guy. But hey, how about this? Give us a little warning before that there's a prefix menu. We made the reservation. There was no indication of that. And so we learned the hard way, and we had to scramble and find something else, which thankfully with some help we were able to, but it was interesting. We went to the new place, and the new place also had a prefixed special Valentine's Day menu, but they also were serving the regular menu, which is how I feel like it should normally go. You have the special menu options, but the rest of the menu is available for order as well.
That is how every place should have it. I agree.
Right.
I'm with you there. The Valentine's Day little menu, that should be a luxury. Yeah, I want to use the Valentine's Day menu today. But you should still always have, like, what do they do? Throw the other food away? They just don't have it?
Yeah, I don't understand. You're a busy restaurant to begin with. I don't know what level of busy you're going to be where you're only going to prepare six dishes the entire night. Get over yourself with a prefixed menu. All right, it's enough of the prefixed menu. How were your guys' Valentine's Day? Jimmy, what did you do?
I did nothing.
did you play some PS5 finally? Did you crack that open?
Yeah, I did. I finally played it, but I didn't play it this weekend. I haven't played in a while because I've been really busy. Mm. But no, I was watching college baseball all weekend.
You were following that Akron series closely?
Yeah, very closely.
How'd the Zips do? Steven, what about you? What did you do on Friday?
Friday, I didn't really do much. It's better to go out to have dinner on Saturday, the day after or the day before.
I will
no
say
prefix
this.
Menus.
You bring up a good point. I think from now on we might just be out on dinner reservations on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, skip
staying
over
home way better. We stayed home. We talked about this last time I filled in. We stayed home on New Year's Eve. Phenomenal time. So much nicer. I felt so much better the next day. It was incredible. I think we might apply that principle to Valentine's Day as well.
Yeah, going out on the 15th, that's where it's at, man. You still have a lot of dates. Everyone's doing the same exact thing. They're saying happy Valentine's Day to you. You still feel fulfilled. You still feel special. Just a day after.
And no prefix menu.
No prefix menu. I think they were still kind of offering it. Like, I think it was like a whole weekend type of thing. But nah, I still ordered off the regular menu. They hit you with the upcharges on those Valentine's Day menus. I don't really like it.
So absurd. And my poor wife, she went through all this effort to find a good spot, and then she gets upset because we got to leave, but she understands why. It was a whole thing. All right. We've got Chris Whittingham coming up in the next segment. So why don't we get our headlines here in the 2 o'clock hour with Steven Gonzalez?
All right. Your headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. NBA All-Star Weekend came to a close last night. Tyler Hero winning the three-point contest, becoming the fifth Miami Heat player to win the contest. Last Heat player to win was James Jones in 2011.
Heat have the most players in NBA history to have won the three-point contest. I was reading the names earlier, and it just brings a smile to my face. I love reading and hearing about Jason Capono.
Yeah. I actually saw a name pop up. I was like, wow, man. That's not a name that I would have expected, but you start thinking back, and hey, we made it
love
happen.
Love Jason Capono.
The Orlando Magic two-way guard, Mac McClung, becomes the first to ever win three consecutive slam dunk contests. Scored a perfect score of 50 in all four of his dunks in the contest. He's in the discussion as one of the best dunkers of all time. He's tied with Nate Robinson, most slam dunk contest wins of all time.
And shout out to Mac McClung for actually jumping over the roof of the car.
Right.
Something that's actually impressive.
Not the hood.
And not doing what Blake Griffin did all those years ago when he jumped over the hood of the sedan.
Yeah.
Which was just baloney, hogwash, all of it.
I like
terrible.
Having the ball sticking out through the sunroof too.
Yeah. Smart I mean, IKEA. Mac McClung did it way better. And I at the end of that, he almost like got a nasty wipeout too, because his like back right heel clipped the back of the car. But he still got the dunk down. It was great. And we'll get to this later in the show. As awesome as Mac McClung is, I think the dunk contest was actually pretty good this year. It's just emblematic of the bigger issue with NBA All-Star Weekend in general. And that is nobody cares about it, right? Like the story coming out of it, locally for us, it's cool that Tyler Hero won the three-point contest and the celebration with Pat Riley in the stands was awesome. But like, I'm not trying to disrespect Mac McClung at all, but like, he's a two-way guy who goes up and down with the Magic. Like, how is anybody supposed to be interested in that? Like, the dunk itself and his ability, awesome. Great.
It's ridiculous.
Fantastic. But the casual fan has no idea who Mac McClung is.
Yeah.
None.
John Morant and Giannis both tweeted out yesterday that they would like to participate in the future. So maybe this is the start of what you're calling for, having some of the stars get back in the contest. Shaq and his OGs came out on top in the newest tournament format of the NBA All-Star Game. Steph Curry took home the hardware, the All-Star Game MVP, second time in his career doing so.
I'm sure we're going to have another format change before next year's All-Star Weekend. Again, you've got, and we'll talk to Chris Whittingham about this, you've got Draymond Green on the TNT panel crapping all over it, the entire product. And whether you agree or disagree with him, not a great look when the guy that you have to showcase the game, a current player, is out there taking dumps all over everything that's happening and supposed to, you know, get people interested in watching. I'm not even sure I disagree with him on the premise of what the format's like, but before you move on in headlines, I saw this breakdown of the All-Star game, okay? 42 minutes of actual basketball was played in the three-hour All-Star game. The intro, half an hour. Pre-game talk, 10 minutes. Game one between Team Kenny and Team Chuck, 12 minutes. Then we had to sit through the dumb Mr. Beast challenge, which was another 5 minutes. Congrats to that guy, though, for winning all that money.
Buzzer beater.
game two, Shaq against the Rising Stars, 16 minutes. And a six-minute musical performance. Then an Inside the NBA tribute, which is almost 10 minutes. Then game three, 14 minutes. Post game was 6 minutes. 22 minutes at the desk for conversation and intros. 80 minutes of total ads. So again, 42 minutes. We had double the amount of time in ads that we had for actual gameplay. And that's on top of the fact that you had LeBron James right before say he wasn't going to play.
Yeah,
the face of the NBA.
That was a big problem. I found that to be a big problem.
Yeah.
The Four Nations face-off, it continues today. We got Canada and Finland going on right now. 3-0 Canada over Finland. If they do hang on to win in regulation, they will take on USA that clinched a spot in the championship game on Thursday after a massive 3-1 win over Canada on Saturday night. Canes Hoops, they'll take on the Florida State Seminoles on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Tune in right here on 560 WQAM at 8:30 p.m. to catch all the action from the Tucker Center in Tallahassee. And William Byron comes out on top in the Great American Race, winning back-to-back Daytona 500s. He's the fifth driver in NASCAR history to find victory lane in consecutive years. Now time for your weather, sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. Weather is 78 degrees outside here in El Portal, Florida, and no chance of rain for the rest of the day. Seems like a good afternoon.
Chris Whittingham, CBS Sports Golasso, and MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Friend of the program. He'll join us next on Hawk and Crowder right here on 560 WQAM.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
America, take down Canada. Freedom.
Hawk and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder. No Hawk, no Crowder, no Solana today. Josh Appel in for the three of them. Steven Gonzalez as well. Going out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline now, where our good buddy, our good friend, Chris Whittingham joins us. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Witty, great friend of the show. You can hear him call the Champions League on CBS, Paramount Plus. His next match is tomorrow. Bayern Munich and, okay, I'm going to screw this up, and I'm becoming more of a soccer guy. It's Celtic, yeah. Right? It's not Celtic.
Damn, Celtic is like you're a Celtic warrior, and it's actually funny because people will yell at you in, like, YouTube comment sections, look at this idiot calling it Celtic, but that is how they pronounce it in Scotland. Yes, it is the Giants of Scotland, and they've got an aggregate disadvantage to overturn away from home in Munich.
No one knows what that means. The reason I thought it was Celtic is because, I mean, partly what you said, but Sheamus from WWE is the Celtic warrior.
Yeah.
So I never know what the right...
I don't know in any other context in which it is Celtic, other than the name of the team, I wouldn't think. Celtic, I guess the Boston Celtics, I suppose. There aren't really that many other contexts in which it is not Celtic, especially when you would think of it as like a European thing. What is the most difficult way to pronounce this seems to be the way that European things work. So I do not fault you for that mispronunciation.
Well, if anybody's still listening to this interview after we went a minute and a half on the pronunciation of Celtic versus Celtic, he's on the call for Bayern Munich and Celtic Champions League action tomorrow on Paramount Plus. You can also hear him doing MLS games on the Apple TV MLS package, MLS Season Pass. His first broadcast is Saturday, FC Cincinnati and New York Red Bulls. Okay, so we got that out of the way.
Plugs are done. Let's move on.
Celtic versus Celtic. Now, in the first segment of the show, talked a little bit about my Valentine's Day fiasco with my wife and my wife's friend and where we ended up choosing to go eat dinner. And this is something that you and I had talked about off the air with Hawk as well. And it sounded like you were blaming us for this misfortune.
I don't have very much sympathy for you, Appel. I don't have very much sympathy for you.
Really on anything. But let me, for those who weren't listening in the first segment, and let me just summarize this very quickly. So my wife had a friend in town from New York, and she spent a few days with us, and that included going to dinner with us for Valentine's Day on Friday.
Let's just say, first off, a little strange to go with another couple on Valentine's Day dinner. That is a one couple deal. I understand you got a friend in town, and that might be the only night you can make it work, but tiny bit strange to do with another couple.
Listen. I'm a flexible person. The more the merrier. Mara and I spend every day of the week together.
Let's not say the more the merrier in this context.
It's fine. Well, maybe it's not. But for this purpose, at dinner, the more the merrier.
You're not going around with a shopping cart with a pineapple in it, are you?
No, that's not happening here. So we needed to find a place that had some gluten-free options. And so there's this restaurant. I'm not going to name any names. There's this restaurant that we chose.
Dig them out. Use your platform. To slag some people off.
I don't want to, partly because I'm not sure I can pronounce the name of the restaurant correctly. So I'm not going to do that for that reason. But we've been there before. It's a great spot. But we didn't realize that for Valentine's Day, and Witty, I'm going to stop short of pronouncing this because I know you say it the proper way that annoys everybody, but I'm going to stop short and let you actually say it.
Prefix?
Yes.
I don't think there's any extra flair that you add to prefix.
Well, the way that you had spelled it out in the group text made it seem like there was some fancy pronunciation that you were going to go with.
No, they had
a prefix menu. Okay.
Yeah, that's just how you spell it. It's not because there's an extra pronunciation to it.
So they had a prefixed menu without any warning.
Yeah.
So we wait. We had a reservation.
It just doesn't pass muster that there wasn't any warning because we went out to a restaurant for New Year's Eve, and it was very clear on the website when you went to make the reservation, there is a prefixed menu. You can take a look at our prefixed menu. And I just cannot believe that on the major kind of cooking holiday or a sort of restaurant going out holidays, that there isn't some kind of warning about there being a prefix menu. So it just doesn't pass muster that with a little bit of investigation, you didn't say, hey, because it's Valentine's Day, do you not have a prefix menu?
Listen, my wife made the reservation. There was no warning. We sit down, we're handed the menu, and we're like, oh, this isn't going to work. So we got up and left before we even ordered a drink. Yeah. And that's something that I've never in a million years done before. I felt shame for doing it because now we're delaying some. Okay, we shouldn't. But I felt shame for it because now we're holding up somebody else that could get a table and maybe they knew there was a prefix menu. I felt bad about
it. Well, and mostly because reservation or restaurants would operate on a reservations only kind of setup for Valentine's Day. I imagine you're getting very few walk-ups on Valentine's Day night because most people are just going, well, if I don't have a reservation, if I don't have something, I'm not getting a table at a good restaurant. So you're probably just left an empty table there in the middle of that restaurant. So yeah, I mean, honestly, Shay might be a little in order, for being honest.
Don't have a prefix menu, all right? Offer your regular menu. Why? I'm going there for your regular menu, not your prefix menu, okay?
But on those holidays when you know you're slammed, when every table's going to be full, you have to limit the options. You watch The Bear. You know what it's like when the kitchen's trying to do too much.
The Bear jumped the shark in season 3. So if we're talking season
shark.
2 of The Bear, yeah.
I mean, I thought a little bit of a down trajectory, but I jumped the shark is a bit harsh for me, Clive.
Season 3 wasn't very good. So I'm not sure The Bear is what you want to throw in my face.
That's fair. It does accurately portray the movement, what goes on in kitchens at restaurants and how hard it is to improv and bring things on the fly and do things that you don't typically do.
Well, guess what? I hated that portion of The Bear, and I hated my experience on Valentine's Day. And that restaurant, I'm not certain we'll ever go to it again, even though we like it.
Even though you want to try the breadth of the menu?
Yep. That's right.
Seems like cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Plenty of restaurants that serve the same kind of food down here in South Florida. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. So this weekend, we had a pretty interesting juxtaposition, Witty, between what the NHL is doing with the Four Nations tournament and what the NBA is clinging on to with their All-Star weekend. But I want to start with the Four Nations, and then we'll get into the bigger picture of just kind of comparing the spot that each league is in right now with these All-Star festivities, if you will. I know how much you love the Kachucks. have you enjoyed this Four Nations tournament so far? Like, you and I are friends with a group of people that ended up going to Montreal, and they were at USA Canada, and they left that event saying it's one of the best sporting events they've ever been to.
And that doesn't surprise me. First off, Americans, and obviously this event for at least the group stage was held in Canada, but Americans love international competition, and especially international competition that feels like it has some stakes, international competition that feels like we're deciding who the best country at hockey is. It kind of almost feels like this could be a substitute for the Winter Olympics, which is its own thing that draws an incredible audience. I think the NHL has absolutely smashed one out of the park here. And then you kind of throw in, you can't really avoid the very obvious political tensions between the two countries at this moment in time. That has very clearly played a role when you look at the way that the anthems have been received. And so the idea that on the one hand, you have the NHL that came up with this idea of let's have the countries compete. And the biggest thing is they got the buy-in of the players. The players very clearly give a bleep. They care about the idea of wanting to beat Canada, and there's some tension. All of a sudden, we're dropping the gloves 9 seconds into the game and starting fights, and the penalty box is loaded with four players for each team. And
all of them Kachuk somehow.
Right. All eight players, both American and Canadian, were all Kachucks. There were cousins, there were siblings, there were nieces and nephews. They were all Kachucks in the penalty box. And it was just such a different level of intensity, and really the biggest thing. And the NHL has had some problems this year with television ratings like the NBA has had. But I think the biggest thing is that level of intensity and caring where the players bought into this idea. And it really felt like, okay, guys, is it Canada or is it us? Is it who's the best country at hockey? We're going to find out over the course of these 60 minutes. And then the crowd in Montreal was amazing. The American traveling fans, like our friends that were there, I can only imagine that sort of cauldron of atmosphere. And you just see these hits. And I'll give some credit to Brady Kachuk, not to Matthew, to Brady Kachuk for this hit that he smashes, well, I think it was Drew Doughty, into the boards. It was like a projectile launching him into the board like you would see in a Stanley Cup final game. You saw this level, and that's all anyone wants out of sport. And that is the biggest thing that I think basketball right now is lacking is there really does seem to be like the players are kind of not really even bothered to be there. They're in Golden State. They're in San Francisco for NBA All-Star. It's like, all right, I guess I'll show up to the slam dunk and then I'll show up to the All-Star game and then I get to go home and rest. That this idea of going home and rest seems to be the entire orbiting force around the NBA. And I think that's such a major difference.
You mentioned television ratings for the NHL being down this year. They didn't count the West Coast in the number that I saw. So I would imagine viewership for that USA-Canada game will be north of 5 million once those are factored in, which is a massive number for the NHL. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. On one hand, you've got players who are fully bought in, the biggest superstars in the sport, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, they're playing on a team together. You've got the Kachucks draping themselves in the flag for the Americans on one side, and they are the faces of American hockey right now. And then in the NBA, you have LeBron James announcing, what, an hour before tip-off of the All-Star game that he's not going to play. Anthony Edwards doesn't play in the All-Star game. When Draymond Green's on TV crapping all over it. I just don't know how the NBA can sustain this type of All-Star approach, for lack of a better way to put it. And it seems like, at least you would hope, that they're going to try and tweak the format yet again. But it seems like I don't know what they can do to get players to buy in to this, because even if you look at the arena, and I don't know if you how much of it you were watching last night, but the atmosphere just seemed so antiseptic. It was just dead. Like, nobody cared about what was happening. And I get that it's hard to add stakes to All-Star games, and you know what the NHL is doing is certainly unique. I mean, we went to an All-Star game when it was down here, and we had fun because of gambling purposes and things that we had on the game, but like, it was fun, but like, people were just there to like watch a rec league skate pretty much with the All-Stars. But how does the NBA get their players to want to participate in this stuff again? Because that's really the only way that that All-Star weekend is going to take a leap back to what people remember it as.
I don't even know if the NHL solution can provide any kind of evidence for them, because I'm not certain that basketball players are really that massively bothered about international competition in the same way. There is no second country that is really that close to the United States in terms of level of talent where you go, all right, at All-Star weekend, we're going to play this little mini international tournament and France is going to come up against us. And, oh man, the mighty French are coming for us. Like, I don't think that dynamic exists there either. I really don't think that there's an answer to this. And really, because the biggest thing for every NBA player is their NBA team and honestly being healthy for the playoffs. And I think you've seen so many examples of teams that have had their seasons derailed by their lack of performance in the regular season, by injuries, getting to the playoffs and teams just running out of gas. You're playing six men come the conference finals. And so NBA teams are just so concerned with the 82 games are kind of a warm-up to get ready for the playoffs. And the All-Star game is a level below that warm-up. And you've seen so many NBA players pull out of games before they're even due to begin. You see teams or fans buy tickets. They're expecting to see Steph Curry. He's taking a rest night. It's the front end of a back-to-back. It's the back end of a back-to-back. That is the narrative that surrounds the league. And I also agree with you that part of it is the actual level of competitiveness between the players in these moments. There was always kind of a standard bearer that was there to try and elevate the level of the games in, you know, Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan and all these players that like, it wasn't just about we're All-Stars. It was, I'm going to be the best of the All-Stars. And it just doesn't seem like anyone is really rising to that level. But I also agree with you that this notion that the media partners, that Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny Smith, for as good as that television show is, been crapping on the NBA for years. And Eddie Johnson and all these pundits are out there saying, and Draymond Green, oh, 95% of the game is drive and kick. It's not entertaining. It's not fun. And maybe those things are true, but I don't think that your biggest cheerleaders coming out and saying, well, the game is not like it used to be. And that really is what it feels like, is the game has evolved and either people don't like it or ex-pros don't like it because it's different than what they grew up with. And I really do think that sets sort of a narrative for people to dislike something. And I honestly think that a lot of people are following their lead. So I don't know, with other than beyond kind of Adam Silver having a strong hand and saying, we got to force players to care. You got to lean on your media partners a little bit to be like, hey, can you like maybe say some nice things about our product? That's kind of what the money's for. So I don't know how they solve this problem in the near term.
The NBA is in such a weird spot because if you look at it from the perspective of, well, their media rights deals have been massive. And so in that sense,
$77 billion over 11 years, like they're doing fine.
Right. But on the other side, there's such a clear disconnect that exists and is growing between the fans of the league and the players that are in it. And I don't know if it is just a result over a decade plus of player empowerment where that disconnect between fans and players is only naturally going to come. But like the regular season feels so devalued. We have an event weekend like this where there's just not a lot of juice to it. Ratings in general.
It used to be a tentpole of the sports calendar. People used to look forward to All-Star weekend.
Right. So my question to you is, what is your view of Adam Silver? Because I remember when he first took over for David Stern, it was like, wow, right, this guy is going to be one of the best commissioners in the history of sports, and his tenure got off to such a great start. But now, with everything going on outside of the massive TV deal he negotiated, which if you ask the owners, they're probably very happy with that and have no complaints about Adam Silver. But what is your view of him now as a commissioner, given how the league has kind of evolved over the last handful of years?
Well, it was interesting because I heard Don Van Natta reporting for ESPN that the NFL tried to hire Adam Silver away. They called him and was like, hey, this Goodell thing doesn't work out. You want to come run the NFL? Like, that's how highly he was thought of in terms of running sports leagues. And yet, if you were to compare just the dollars and cents, facts, objectives of what each league is trying to do, the NFL is soaring and the NBA is in a period of decline. Now, I do wonder how much he really has a say over as the commissioner of the league. You mentioned player empowerment. It's very difficult when you've negotiated, collectively bargained with the players, fully guaranteed contracts and contract lengths that were meant to keep players in markets, but instead have incentivized them to go elsewhere because you used to be able to sign a 7-year deal with an NBA team. And the owners were like, well, let's make it 5 because we're making mistakes and we're giving players contracts that we shouldn't. And so all these market factors have combined. And you're right. That disconnect is only going to grow because that increase in media rights, well, great for the league, is going to also increase player salaries, which is great for them. But ultimately, we're going to see very soon players making $70, $80 million a year at the highest end. And that only creates that disconnect, especially when, so hang on a second, you're getting paid something like $850,000 a game, and you're going to take it off for a little rest?
Yeah,
The $80 million doesn't guarantee me when I buy a ticket that you're going to show up and play basketball? Like that. That idea is only going to metastasize. I really do think that the NBA has got a big problem, but how do you fix that? You're not taking money away from the players, and you're taking away money from yourselves. I think the TV situation, while on the national end, is very good. I think what's going on in local television right now is a real difficulty for NBA, NHL, and MLB teams in particular, because you have a lot of these FanDuel networks that are not on a lot of cable packages. People are cutting the cord with cable. And so a lot of fans just going, I'll watch the clips on social media and I'll listen to some podcasts and maybe watch The Jump or listen to Brian Windhorst podcasts. And that'll be enough for me to get my fix of the NBA. I just think that the NBA is struggling with that day-to-day investment because it doesn't seem like the parties themselves are really that invested in the day-to-day of the actual basketball of the league. The transactions, the Luka thing will always get national headlines, but did that all of a sudden lead to an increase of people watching the Lakers on local television or buying NBA League Pass so they can watch the games? And I think that's the biggest thing they have to get back to, but I am not equipped to come up with the answer to that question.
Yeah, and you know, when the offseason is infinitely more intriguing than the regular season, you've got an issue on your hands. As great as it is that the offseason is interesting, you'd never want it to be more interesting than the actual games that you play.
The NFL has some intrigue. Players move, but ultimately, it's not nearly the deal that the NFL, when week one comes around, like, football, finally. And I think that's a big thing, too, is scarcity, is having 17, soon to be 18 regular season games. You miss it over the course of 7 months between real competitive games, and you just can't wait to see the games anymore.
Hell, I'll be like that for OTAs. Chris Whittingham joining us from Apple TV and CBS Paramount Plus. He'll be on the Champions League call tomorrow for Bayern Munich and Celtic, and he'll also be on the call for FC Cincinnati and New York Red Bulls, his first MLS game on Apple TV for MLS Season Pass. That's on Saturday. Whitty, this is a very complex subject. I want to get to one Inter Miami Messi question after this. We're running out of time, but really quickly, And this is a very easy subject to give a short answer to, but over the weekend, I'm sure you saw the piece on ESPN.com. Jonathan Martin, former Dolphins offensive tackle, the center of what we know as Bullygate, gave some very interesting comments to ESPN, and it's a lot more complicated and nuanced than this, but the reaction to it has basically been that Richie Incognito and the rest from the Dolphins are vindicated because Jonathan Martin is quoted as saying that he doesn't actually feel like he was ever bullied while he was with the Dolphins. What is your takeaway? Simply put, what is your takeaway from that article and the comments from Jonathan Martin?
I wonder how much he is trying to get past something, and that kind of is the way you would get past it. I also think that in an NFL environment, to have been bullied, in some ways demonstrating what would be perceived to be a lack of toughness is probably the most offensive, I guess you can say, thing that you can, or the biggest strike against you is that you weren't tough enough, and so you couldn't crack it, and so you quit. And that is kind of what it felt like. Now, I do kind of come at it from a few angles. One is that I do think it's important to note that in part of that investigation, part of coming up with all the facts in this case, that there was a voicemail that was left on Jonathan Martin's voicemail with some N-words in it.
Yeah.
Some really offensive language. So Richie Incognito is not going to come out of this completely unscathed as, well, I did absolutely nothing wrong here. I don't believe that for one second.
No.
And
nobody
very
should.
Clearly, and right. And very clearly, the NFL locker room is a demanding environment where things get pushed over the line. And Richie Incognito seemed to have been a habitual line stepper. So let's say that. But I think the other thing is that Richie Incognito is not going to go on a tour. And I think this will become something of a, one of these social wars that happens, these culture wars that happen where, see, we got too soft for a while and now we got to get tougher. And I do think that there are two sides of that. There are people that try to be caring and compassionate, and there are sides that F your feelings and we're going to do things the way that we want to do them. And I do think that the compassionate side of the argument tends to kind of give some quarter. They tend to say, I acknowledge that maybe in this instance you were correct. The other side never does.
Right.
The other side never says, oh, maybe I went a little bit over the line. Maybe I went a bit too far. No, it's, I want full vindication. I want to sue the NFL. I want to sue the Miami Dolphins and get my reputation back. And so that's the part that frustrates me, is that there I think are two sides, and one is playing on the level and the other side isn't. And that is the part where I look at Jonathan Martin very clearly in some public interview, trying to regain his reputation a little bit as a football player, as someone operating in the world, and kind of gives a little bit back and say, I wasn't bullied, which, again, even in that setting, in an NFL setting, what is bullying really? Is there, can that even really happen in an NFL setting because of how intense and tough it is? I do think that Jonathan Martin is trying to give a little something to get a little something. And instead, I think he's really only going to get hit even harder. And that cause is only going to get hit even harder. And we're going to go back to probably a world in which the rich incognitos of the world can act with impunity. And I'm not certain that that's the world we want to live in either.
Yeah, I don't really think anybody expected to hear from Jonathan Martin randomly in the middle of February, the week after the Super Bowl, either. The victory lap that Richie Incognito is taking is interesting to me because I don't think anybody will sit here and deny that he is a crazy person, right? And you kind of got to be to play the position at the level that he did for as long as he did.
That, but
even
sort of like out-intensing everybody else in the most intense sport.
Right. And sure, did his reputation take a hit? Yes. But he was already known as one of the dirtiest players in the game. And then he had multiple Pro Bowl seasons after he left the Dolphins. So really, the reputation, this is only like a small part of it that added to it for Richie Incognito, right? Like, he was already known as that guy around the league. To me, it is more unfortunate for the other collateral damage in this, the trainer who was let go, who had a sterling reputation with the Dolphins and around the league. The offensive line coach, Jim Turner, who was out of the league and had to go down to college in the UFL for a little bit before he finally made a return. There was a lot of collateral stuff here beyond just Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. And really, the Dolphins organization in general, that's one of the biggest things that people point to as the dysfunction of this organization. And it turns out it seems like it may have been a bit overblown. And I think that can be the middle ground that we settle on here, where Richie Incognito like left that voicemail. It's pretty blatant. Like, that happened.
Yeah.
And he was I was a bit of a jerk a lot of the times to Jonathan Martin, but we also don't know like the full scope of their relationship either. Maybe it didn't rise to the level of quote unquote bullying. Jonathan Martin now saying this weekend he doesn't feel like that. Finally, Witty, last thing before I let you go. Inter Miami, new head coach this year. Very disappointing finish in the postseason last year. No more Tata Martino. What should we expect from their new head coach? What should we expect from the team in general this year? And are they going in as the favorites once again, despite how their season ended in the postseason last year?
Have to be considered the favorites, in my opinion, just because they have Messi, they have Busquets, they have Suarez, they have a level of talent that no other team has. And really the biggest thing is, how do you manage over the course of the season? Even in this midweek, before the MLS regular season kicks off, they're already starting in another competition, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and there are reports that Miami kind of tried to get out of the game because it's going to be 5 degrees at kickoff.
And butch up, Messi, all right?
Come on, with a wind chill of negative 17. You probably would make sense for him to stay home in those scenarios. Please. And I do think that's the biggest thing, is that Miami will be playing in 4 competitions this year. CONCACAF Champions Cup, the MLS regular season, Leagues Cup, and then the Club World Cup come the summer. So you're looking at playing another 45, 50 games. The biggest thing I think that will come to Miami's aid is that there is no summer tournament like there was with Copa America last summer, which was a really difficult one because Messi left with ankle the size of a balloon by the end of it. And so it is about health, and it's about getting to the playoffs in the right time, but also I think solving some of the underlying issues that they had really in terms of balance. And I think the biggest thing for them is they really only defend with 9 players. And that's a really difficult thing to do in soccer. When you look at Suarez and you look at Messi, they don't really have the energy to be able to really put in a defensive shift. It makes their ability to press a bit toothless. So need to play with control, which is very difficult to do in MLS because you don't have 11 players that are usually technically capable of keeping possession, or with way more athleticism. So you have to have much more in midfield and in defense that can cover some of the gaps when you leave yourself exposed. But just on a level of talent basis, this team should be... Maybe not in terms of results. I think in terms of performance, better than they were last year. And I think they should definitely be the favorites to go and win the league in the playoffs and probably take home another competition or two.
Chris Whittingham from CBS, Paramount Plus, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Friend of the program, Whitty, appreciate your time. I know I said like 20 minutes ago that we were running out of time, so really glad that I adhered to that. Thank you for your time. Have a great call tomorrow of Bayern Munich and Celtic. The Champions League, that's tomorrow on Paramount Plus. First MLS game is Saturday, FC Cincy and New York Red Bulls. Whitty, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Back with more Hawk and Crowder after this.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Ooh, he kicked the hell out that one. Goal!
Hawk and Crowder.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.